Hi everyone, this is Matt Price, host of Dynasty Game Night. My co-host John Bosch and I created this podcast for one reason, to focus on fun. After all, fun is the reason we all started playing fantasy football in the first place. I love games of all sorts, card games, board games, video games, really any kind of game you can think of. So one day, John and I decided it was time for a podcast where we just play games. You might learn something along the way, but you won't find much hard-hitting analysis here. Check out all the other incredible podcasts DLF has to offer for that sort of thing. On Dynasty Game Night, our primary focus is to entertain. So if you like playing games or watching game shows, this might just be the podcast for you. We'd love for you to give it a listen and play along with the contestants and maybe even win a chance to be on the show.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winnings to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm a climber with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russ and Brian are the names. Trade addicts pod, let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
And I'm 3INT Boy, and I have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to session 66 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DL. Oh, my God. Go ahead, Brian. Just say it.
You know what would be awesome?
What would be awesome, Brian?
If we got Rob Gronkowski in three episodes.
Oh, my God. That would be so hashtag nice.
That's all.
You feel good now?
I do. I'm ready now.
Session
I just like to interrupt. I just like to interrupt.
Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. You happy now? He's dying. That's awesome. Yeah, nothing exciting happened this week. I have no story, no nothing. So we are going to jump straight in. What did you call yourself, Lewis?
3INT boy. I'll give you the quick story on the handle if you want it.
Go for it, man. Start at the beginning.
All right. So go back 15 years, geez, maybe even 20. I had a group of guys I played football with every Sunday morning. We were all, you know, not real young, but pretty, I'd say, athletic kind of thing. So we were feeling good about ourselves. There's a big charity event at the practice bubble for the Giants. What at the time was called the Meadowlands. So I was one of two quarterbacks could, you know, possibly be the quarterback for this team. And it was a charity event. It was good and everything. You know, it was a good cause. But, of course, we wanted to win and thought we were all going there to light it up. So I totally did the wrong thing, which was I lobbied for the gig. All right. So just a complete wrong thing. So the first three passes I throw are picked off and returned for touchdowns.
And salt in the wound.
Nice. Well, so the third one, the little, I won't curse yet, but the flips me the ball as I'm chasing him into the end zone and says, "Stick with fantasy football." So 3INT boy. That's
did he just like drop the football in front of you?
That wasn't a thing at the time. He flipped it at me, but it was good. You know what? So the handle is actually a reminder to have a little humility, you know, that kind of.
It's a reminder to stick to fantasy.
Yeah. Nice. I like it. That worked out for me, actually. He was right. So I finished strong. I will tell you that I finished strong, but it was a poor start. That's right.
All right. The really funny thing is you're talking about how you felt like you guys were athletic. And if you guys could see what this dude looks like, I'm a little embarrassed about, I'm going to start doing some push-ups before
we start recording. Same.
No.
And beyond being a carved from marble man that he is in front of us, man, did he fill in this show sheet?
I did.
So he is a preparer.
Yeah, that was impressive.
Thanks.
All right, so let's start from the beginning. Why don't you give them your actual name?
Sure, Lou Tranquillo.
Dude, he's gonna talk, and you do that. You're
What do you think?
I got it in before he started.
I heard the pop top, didn't I?
Yes.
Or was that a can opener? Because then I know you're really honoring me with a throwback beer. An Iron City opened up or something.
No, that was pop top.
Nicely done.
Anyways, Ross, I apologize. I'm done for this evening.
Let's not apologize. Yeah,
you might as well just sign off. You're done. Get out of here.
Let's break all apologies. No, not necessary. So,
No, Brian absolutely has to. It's part of our gig. Start at the beginning. Give us your name, a little bit of your background, and then we'll get into our actual interview.
All right. So, Lou Tranquilli. Live in Hunterdon County, New Jersey, beautiful spot in New Jersey.
New Jersey!
Yes, you're right. This is not the spot that you see on The Sopranos or Jersey Delicious or any one of those. This is the Garden State part, which is very, very nice. Four kids. Love the beach. Love football. I don't really have a favorite team anymore. Fantasy football completely eradicated fandom from my life, which I love. And the NFL should love me for it because, I've spread the word kind of thing on fantasy football like you guys are for years. And just, I think it's made fans out of so many people. And by the way, I maintain DirecTV owes their entire existence to the Sunday Ticket. That's why I bought it. That's for sure. I want to watch every one of those games a couple of times a week kind of thing. So that's the short end of the long story.
All right. Well, so let's get the important stuff now.
Far away.
How long have you been playing fantasy football?
Started in 1998, which actually, I mean, some would call me a rookie still, but started in 1998 with an auction league, which is really, they said they were my friends and they're like, come and join this fantasy football league. I show up and they're like, it's an auction league. And I said, well, what the hell is that? So they had to give me a lesson before the start of the auction as to what that meant, throwing bids out and everything else. But it was a very good lesson for the years that the league existed. And they were a great group of, and they were all guys at the time, they were a great group of guys. And it really imparted value on me right from the beginning. You had to know what you wanted to pay for a player. And it has stuck with me the whole way through. So it was a cool start. So 98. And then the World Championship of Fantasy Football was born. And I was hooked. So went out to Vegas, went every year. It kind of snowballed from there. Ended up starting my own fantasy football website, which would be BFD Fantasy Football. Had that for a number of years and then sold it and started the Fantasy Football Players Championship. So I've had a pretty good run at this this awesome hobby.
So selling websites. Anybody out there listening, you want to maybe
don't look for me on Shark Tank, Russ. Okay. Didn't work out that well.
All right. So it says here on your fancily filled out show sheet that you started Dynasty in 2012.
I did.
What made you make the jump?
Well, I still owned BFD Fantasy Football at the time. And guys, similar to what you guys did, they said, why don't you start some leagues on the site? You have so many great subscribers, great people. We really like each other, enjoy. So they started what is the Big Effin Dynasty League.
Nice.
And right. And that is what it's currently called. So, and BFD doesn't mean what you think, by the way. But they started it. They had it for a year. Somebody bailed out and they're like, you got to join. You're the guy who started the whole site. So I did. I jumped in. I was pathetically awful for like 5 years. I mean,
that's the fun.
Oh, I just was awful. I will report that I finally won it last year, which was nice. And I got to tell you, there's some great, great players. And if you don't mind, like a guy like John Rozek is in there, who has been named the best fantasy football player on the planet. She's Lance Turbis. There are a lot of really great players in there. So to win it, I'm pretty damn happy about that. But it only took me, you know, 6 pounds of flesh and 7 years kind of thing. So yeah.
I have been running fantasy football leagues since 2008. Literally never won a league I commissioned.
Ouch.
To this day.
All right. That's, you're taking one for the team every year. That's,
I mean, then I need to, someone else needs to start running these Trade Addicts leagues so I can win one of them. That's all I'm saying. Brian, time to start pulling your weight.
I heard him say you would at the, when we were on.
Oh, nice. Yeah, awesome. Cool. Okay. So you had some hard times, we'll say, getting into Dynasty. What are some of the terrible things you've done in those times?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll start with the what looks like it may be the most recent, so that we keep everybody interested here. I traded, now qualify with pre-Odell Beckham to the Browns. I traded Evan Engram for Kareem Hunt when Hunt was already suspended. I rolled the dice on it. I thought, yeah, I believe in Hunt's talent, and I didn't know where he was ending up. I took a big risk, but that one doesn't look like it's going to work out so well for me. But I also, I traded away. That's probably the worst one right now going. But, I don't know. Early on, drafts, I traded for who was the guy on the Jaguars, that really good wide receiver that everybody loved. He had like 3 good games. And then
Justin Blackmon?
Oh, are we like going that far back? Gun, pulling it right out of the hat, Russ. Yes. He ended up, you know, in back alleys, you know, on Sundays when he was supposed to be playing, kind of thing. So he was one of my big draft or my big trades as well. I mean, I have so many that were grim. I couldn't have listed them all on there. I need a second page. It was pretty awful. But I've gotten it together, I think. That's it.
That's good. All right. So tell us how you've gotten it together. What are some of the good trades you've made?
Well, back to the valuing players. I look for fairness in trades. I mentioned that before, but I guess we'll get to that. I'm not always looking for the player on the ascent. I will take the guy that's, I'll trade for AJ Green. I think you have 2 or 3 good years left out of the guy. If you win along the way. All right. So he's not 25. Clearly, but just looking at players that are productive, that are very good football players, and I love the coaching tree. I talked to you guys a little bit about that, wrote about it. So I'm looking for players in good situations and targeting them as trade players I want to trade for, so that even if they're a little bit older, there's still value in them in the position that they hold within an offense.
It's that wonderful struggle between, do I want to win leagues or do I want to win dynasty by having that pretty roster?
Yeah, that's right.
It's a struggle.
No, I'm not. It's no longer a struggle. I'm not a window dressing roster kind of guy. Give me the meat and potatoes kind of thing. The guys that can play football and the coaches that can coach it as well kind of thing.
Winning's overrated. It's just about looking good.
If you insist, we can play together because I want to win, damn it. That's all there is to it. So.
Okay. Well, I guess that could really be your guiding principle. I want to win, damn it. That'd be pretty eloquent.
Just win, baby.
All right. Well, hit us with your guiding principle you use to evaluate or offer trades.
All right. So I try to be fair. And maybe in having listened to you guys for a while now, we could call it the Brian Haar method of trading. I want things to be fair. And right. I'm not trying
new
to
win. T-shirt.
Yes. Free t-shirt. All right. That's cool. So, I just look at it and sometimes I stop myself from offering trades even because I'm looking at it and say, why the hell would the other owner do that? And I shouldn't be thinking about it on their behalf. I should just offer the thing. But you know, I'm not trying to win every trade. I'm trying to improve what the roster looks like. And by improving what the roster looks like to me, or I think it actually is, I put myself in the best position to not only win, like you said, but also to trade again. And that's, I'm not trying to, you know, look ahead, look where, I'm not trying to, you know, look where the ball is. I'm looking where it's going all the time. But you do have to have some thought process of, you know, go get a Kareem Hunt. If he has a good game or two going into next year, or even the end of this year, trade deadline, he might have some more value than a tight end that could fit into a cluster of tight ends kind of thing. So, you know, I'm trying to look for the next move that I can improve the roster with. And that's the fairness to start with. It doesn't always work out that way.
All right. Well, you seem to fit in, so I approve.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Well, news is a strong word, but there's one thing I want to bring up. So hit me with the news.
The news.
Now, Coach Speak is Coach Speak because it is, well, technically it's July. I think this may have been set in June, but I just want to bring up Aaron Jones because this is a pretty much an Aaron Jones podcast. Matt LaFleur wants to get the running backs, quote unquote, involved in the passing game, which really means he wants to get Aaron Jones involved in the running game because it's not like Jamal Williams can catch the ball. So, Brian, why did you reject my trade of me trying to give you Aaron Jones? Because Aaron Jones is clearly going to be just the GOAT now, like you always thought he would be.
So I don't necessarily agree that Jamal Williams can't catch the ball. When Aaron Jones got hurt last year, I feel like Williams had, I don't know for sure because I don't have it in front of me, but I feel like he had a couple of really good games catching the football. And they just brought in Dexter
Williams.
Yes, as well. So the thing for me with Jones, it's not the talent. The talent, everybody on the earth knows that I love Aaron Jones's talent. And if he ends up getting 70% of the carries in that backfield or 70% of the touches in that backfield, he's going to be an absolute stud. I just don't know that he's going to get that much work. I mean, he'll probably start games, and if he gets hot and stays hot, maybe he'll see that workload. But you know, it took LaFleur a long time last season to get his best running back on the field.
You think maybe he learned
something? I hope like hell he did. Yeah, I mean, because I have enough Aaron Jones shares to, like, you know. I mean, I'm a card carrying member, so of the Aaron Jones fan club. So, I mean, I hope he has learned something and gives him the rock, but I just don't, until I see it, it's hard for me to invest. Here's the other problem with your deal, Mister. Yeah. You coming after my boy Diggs. I mean,
hey, that's my boy Diggs.
Well, it's our boy Diggs. So, that's the other reason why I am still looking. I just didn't get around to it. Today.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up Aaron Jones.
Other football stuff, which we might mention later.
Foreshadowing. All right. Am I calling you Lou? Am I calling you Lewis? What Lou am I calling
good.
You?
No, Lou is good, man.
Lou. Thanks. Okay. Devontae Adams believes Geronimo Allison will be dangerous in the new offense. Are you a Geronimo Allison guy or a Marquez Valdez Scantling, or are you the random ESB-er?
I'm not an ESB-er, that's for sure. You know, maybe one of those rare guys that we talked about earlier that has some value if somebody gets hurt. There's a lot to be determined with this offense. I think there's currently a tendency to apply the Mike McCarthy offense to the Matt LaFleur offense. They are not the same thing, not even a little bit. Now, theoretically, LaFleur is running some version of the West Coast offense, having, you know, been had a cup of coffee with Sean McVay or carried his bag into the building one time. But I don't know what evidence exists that LaFleur is A, ready to be a head coach, and B, more than Devontae Adams, Aaron Jones, and I mean, running back wise, I have some thoughts there with LaFleur as well. But to answer the question directly, I think it's Marquez Valdez Scantling. I do like Geronimo Allison. Davante Adams being nice to Allison and saying something good about him. It could be his best friend on the team and his roommate. We don't know that. Great, but it's spring. Everybody's been in shorts, and there's little evidence that Geronimo Allison is ready to go. So I'm taking the second year guy. I liked what I saw from Allison last year, but I really liked what I saw from Valdez Scantling.
You have any strong feelings on this one, Brian?
Yeah, but not with those two guys. So here's
are you gonna drop are you dropping Jake Kumerow or Jamon Moore on me?
No, I'm not. I'm dropping Davante Adams. He legitimately has a chance for 180 targets this year.
Oh, my heart is glowing.
I mean,
like, think about you a year ago.
I know. Here's the thing about it. It's not that I don't like either one of those guys. I think Allison or MVS can be a decent number two wide receiver in that offense. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen in this league. So in my opinion, can he support multiple wide receivers in an offense? Yes, he can. We've seen it throughout his career. I mean, Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson, and at the same time, Davante Adams, but Adams had 169 targets last year. And I don't think that number goes down at all. And with how productive he is and how good of a freaking route runner. So I don't know that I've ever been more wrong on a player. I really don't. He is absolutely a stud. Now, Lou, I know you said earlier when we were talking off air, and you might have thrown it in right before I started there, but I know it sounds like you traded him this offseason. And, I understand that thought process too. I mean, his value is as high as it's ever been. And he's 26 still. He might be 27 sometime during the season.
And still doesn't have much higher to go.
So, yeah. And exactly. And he doesn't have much higher to go. So it makes sense to see what you might be able to get in return there. I think for this particular season, though, I do think he's just going to be a monster again, just like he was last year. The target share, I think he's going to own the target share there. And if he does, he's going to be dominant again. So that's kind of it's. I didn't really answer the question between MVS and Allison. I don't know which one of those guys is going to come out as the wide receiver two in the offense. I really don't. I have no idea. But I think Davante Adams is it. I mean, he's if neither one of those guys steps up in a major way, he's going to get even more targets. So.
Well, Aaron Rodgers said so, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Walmart,
well, he's right? The real offensive coordinator that we need.
Right, well, there you go. That's right. And he's the only guy that touches the ball on every offensive play other than the center, of course. So he does get to decide in the end where it goes.
Okay, and now I'm going to bring up two guys, but it's sort of in a similar situation. Zeke Elliott talked to the commissioner, and he feels optimistic he's going to avoid a suspension for when he shoulder blasted that dude into a gate and fell down.
Dumbass.
And Kareem Hunt got into a kerfuffle at a nightclub over the weekend.
Leave him out of this.
And apparently nothing came of it. Him and his friend were being rowdy, and it was misunderstood as being a fight or something. I don't know. But regardless, it doesn't seem like either of them are going to get in trouble. But what do you think about these guys with this stuff still happening? Are you afraid of using this to buy? Do you think there's actually going to be a suspension for either of further suspension for Hunt? Do you think anything's going to happen? How do you feel about it? Lou, you go first. Pick a guy.
Sure. Pick a guy. Zeke Elliott. I don't know what his college history is because I don't follow college football all that much. I follow the guys that get paid to play kind of thing. It's just there's too much of it. And if you saw the video, I mean, I said it jokingly, what the hell was that? What was he doing? The guy was a security guard. And I will tell you that if you look at it closely, and this is just my view of it, watch the end of it. He approaches the woman that he's with in a less than pleasant way, in my opinion. I don't know if anybody else interpreted the video that way, but the optics, in my opinion, were not good. So does he avoid it? Listen, you know, Roger Goodell's got the dossier on Ezekiel Elliott, and I do not. You know, I just love to see the guy focus on charitable events. He should be able to go to Vegas and have a really good time, like any one of the three of us, and not have to deal with any of this. But that was on him. That wasn't on the other people, as far as we can all see. He created that situation. So I don't know that you can say without question he won't get a 2-game suspension and then fight to have it knocked down to 1 kind of thing. You know, Kareem Hunt, there should be absolutely no evidence of Kareem Hunt anywhere near a bar, a place that he could get drunk, whatever it is, and any misunderstanding could happen. You know, his football future depends on this. You would think that would be big enough or bigger than going to a bar for a night and doing whatever, even if it's perceived as something that was just him and a friend fooling around. It must have been bad enough that people stepped in, you know, or thought it was bad enough. So,
well, the cops were, I assume, not there in the first place. I assume they were called.
Excellent point. So I'm sorry, that was a long-winded take. I'll try to shorten it. But the bottom line is, on both of them, there's just too consistent of a history. You got to, at some point, say, this is what I do for a living. I am a professional, and I am going to act in that manner as a professional.
See, it's funny. Once I heard this, I decided that I own one share of Kareem Hunt, and I was just sort of done with it. Like, I don't think he's going to get suspended more out of any of this, but I just kind of wanted out. So I sent an offer to literally everyone in the league, except for Brian, because I know Brian is risk averse and he wouldn't want it. So Brian, how do you feel about these guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly it. I'm risk averse. You know, I don't. And especially where you have to, you know, when we're talking about dynasty fantasy football, right? Especially the draft capital you have to invest in these guys. I'm not paying for Zeke Elliott when I can get a player like Christian McCaffrey, a player like Alvin Kamara, a player like even guys like Melvin Gordon or DJ. You know,
Chubb.
Yeah, they're
Chubb.
Nick Chubb. I mean, high character guys that aren't. You know, and some of those guys, you know, you say, oh, well, why would you take DJ over Ezekiel Elliott? Because Davey Johnson's not getting suspended, period. I mean, he doesn't have a history of these issues where I know I'm going to be able to count on him. Now, if they're both healthy and they play 16 games, is Ezekiel Elliott going to outscore David Johnson? There's probably a pretty good chance of that. But I'd rather know that my player is going to be available every week. You know, Russ, last week we talked about we broke down about DeAndre Hopkins versus Odell Beckham because Beckham had jumped Hopkins in ADP. And I said, I'm taking Nuke every day of the week. He's missed one game in 6 years. Odell Beckham's played one full 16 game slate once in his 5-year career. So I want the player, when it comes to talent that is close in ability and situation, you know, I want the player who's going to be available to me. You know, so I I'm risk averse here. And this is the other thing. And I think I've said I'm a counselor by trade, mental health counselor. And, you know, some of these guys literally just can't help themselves. You know, they're not to get too deep into it, but we come from different places. That's we, right. You know, we're taught different things. And we're, you know, and these guys get thrown into the media spotlight. They get an exorbitant amount of money. You know, and there's nobody there to teach them what to do with all of that and how to behave or act with all of that or whatever. So I'm not saying, you know, I'm not trying to make excuses or I'm not trying to peg these as bad human beings. I'm just saying you know, if there's a pattern of behavior, okay, so psychology, right? If there's a pattern of behavior, the only way that changes is by creating a new pattern. And these guys don't do it. They just keep repeating the stuff over and over again. I'm not investing the capital it takes to own these guys in leagues when there are other players out there that I don't have to worry about that with.
Well, injury is a big enough issue, isn't it? You've got to worry about injury, but now you compound that concern with off the field issues. Why bother?
Yeah, to bring it fully back to fantasy, like I think the aim of your like first 2 to 3 round picks is just not screwing up.
Right. Yeah. Like, don't screw the whole thing up.
Do you want your first pick to be the wide receiver or running back one for 2-3 years? That would be amazing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But what you really do, you don't want him to bust. Right. You want him to be super solid. You want him to be top 5, top 7, something all the time, always. And you're spending a first round pick on Zeke. That's just the way it is. This, even if he gets suspended for 2 games, that's not changing. I don't think he's dropping at all. Even though I think at this point, if he gets suspended again, he absolutely should. I only think I own like one share of him, just because I don't really pay for running backs. But yeah, I honestly might move it at that point, just because, like Brian, you're like, availability is the best ability, and he's sort of showing that that's not a given anymore. And the thing is, the dude doesn't get hurt, so it sucks that this is why he's missing games.
That's right.
Well, let's move on to something more positive. Main event?
The main event!
So I said, hey, Lou, what do you want to talk about? You know what? Why don't you just write it into the show sheet what you want to talk about? So he wrote a lot of words down.
400 words. I think that was the word count. It was 400 words.
The fact that he knows that. Oh, man. I don't know if that's good or bad. I was about to say, you're good, but that's might be a little too good.
It's good, bad. That's all. It sums it up beautifully.
It's the best at being bad. There you go. It's still the best at something. Okay, so I don't know, man. You read this. I don't have to read this. You typed it.
You're the boss of this deal. So as I mentioned earlier, I am really into and have been from a very, very long time ago, the coaches putting players into position to be successful. So obviously a great talent like a Julio Jones is going to be successful. A guy like Larry Fitzgerald has played with some of the trash of quarterbacks that you could possibly play professionally.
Talk about John Skelton like that.
Oh, you know, that's right. It's John Skelton. I'm trying to remember who was Danny White's nephew or something, ended up the Cardinals quarterback. So Fitzgerald's a great player and he's going to work hard to be great, but there are others that are put in position to be great because of coaching around them. Their schemes make players better than they might be, or not
like
better.
Brian is completely okay at podcasting, but since he's with me, he's awesome.
Elevation, right? Of the game. That's exactly right. You know, I mean, this is a
smile or anything, Brian. You're just going to sit there staring. You're not even going to. Is the computer frozen, Brian? Hello.
Might be
there. You are. Sorry.
How's this? I'll give you an example. I think a good example. Everyone is excited about Chris Godwin this year. I mean, he's looks like a talented player anyway. But the elevation of excitement has gone up because some players are now out of the way, and who is coaching the team, right? Bruce Arians has a reputation for the ball being in the air. People remember a couple of years ago, those Cardinal rosters with multiple wide receivers. I was just John Smokey Brown. Everybody knows his name because Bruce Arians made him a thing. He put him in position to succeed. Brown in Buffalo is probably not going to be the same player with Brian Daboll calling the plays. So, a guy that I think is getting a little bit beat up here as the quiet time of the off season goes on is Kenny Galladay. Darrell Bevell is a pretty good offensive coordinator. I know Yeah, I know. You want to say it, but he was good. And I was just, you were in the Super Bowl 2 years in a row. All right. You might not like the last play, but you were in the Super Bowl 2 years in a row. So I'll give you a guy that I wrote on the sheet. Mike Fury is the wide receiver coach in Chicago. Now, anybody remember Mike Fury? Former Arena Football League player, played for the Rams, and played for Detroit. His style of play is Anthony Miller. I mean, that's all, you could say Taylor Gabriel as well, but that's his style of player. That's who he was. It's reasonable to expect that his method of coaching is really going to speak to a guy like Anthony Miller, who this year I think is a really good breakout candidate. But so I also put down for the Giants, don't be surprised if Golden Tate catches 90 passes. I mean, he may have 600 yards on 90 catches, but it's just an offensive scheme with Pat Shurmur. Mike Shula is there, that it's a West Coast offensive scheme. And I'll give you another guy, and there's been some chatter about him. I know everyone loves DJ Moore. I try not to love any players. There are a few. I said Austin Hooper earlier. But Norv Turner has done a pretty nice job of reinventing himself in Carolina. Now, I will tell you that I expected what came from Christian McCaffrey, because he's playing the LaDainian Tomlinson role in Norv Turner's offense. Curtis Samuel healthy this year, and DJ Moore. Those are solid players that aren't costing a fortune. And I happen to believe that get Curtis Samuel three rounds later than DJ Moore in any draft, redraft, dynasty drafts, and you're going to end up with a very similar player because of the scheme, not necessarily because Curtis Samuel is a better player than DJ Moore. I don't think Brian's buying any of this, just so you know. He looks like he's heading for the eject.
I agree with everything you just said. The only thing is, you started with Chris Godwin and then moved off to him before you said if you thought it was actually a good fit for Arians.
You know, yes, but Arians spreads the ball around. There's an alpha receiver, and that alpha receiver is not Chris Godwin. That's Mike Evans. So you go back just a few years and you look at Larry Fitzgerald dominating the Cardinals in targets and catches and everything else. John Brown, I'm trying to remember who the third guy was at this. Jerron Brown was there. It wasn't still Bolden.
Was Floyd there?
Steve Breston.
Oh, it was Breston. You're right.
So there were a couple of other guys there that participated, but Larry Fitzgerald dominated. That's Mike Evans' role. That's so. I think Godwin is more of a 70 catch guy, not a 100 catch guy. And again, Arians, it's off season. He's a coach. The guy can catch 100 passes, just like David Johnson could get 30 carries a game a couple of years back. So don't think it's happening. That's all. I think he's going to be good. I don't think he's going to be what people are hoping for. That's for sure.
What about you, Brian? Chris Godwin going to be all you ever wanted? All you ever hoped for?
Be all he can be.
So when you just, so I just want to let you know that when you just said, is Chris Godwin going to be all I ever wanted? I really felt like you were trying to, just full disclosure here. I felt like you were trying to bring up last week's episode and the boy bands and pull it out of me.
I was not that clever.
And so I didn't really appreciate that, but I love Chris Godwin. I mean, obviously he's a Penn State guy, so I'm a little bit biased, but I think what Lou says makes a lot of sense. You know, I think there's usually an alpha dog in Arians' offense, and that guy's Mike Evans in Tampa. So, you know, I think Godwin is going to be really good. I think he's going to be a super nice compliment to Mike Evans. He's going to be a solid wide receiver two in the NFL. But Evans is the alpha dog there. He's a beast. Mike Evans is underrated, if you can believe that, in my opinion. So I am with him there. I would say the only thing that I'm not on board with in what Lou said was I am not a Curtis Samuel guy. I do not believe in Curtis Samuel in the least bit. I think DJ Moore is the guy there, and I think he's going to prove it this year. So that's the only place where I would differ in terms of what Lou was saying there about these receivers. So yeah, that's good information. I looking into wide receiver coaches. That's good stuff, man.
I dig. I'm trying to think of why are we all there? There's a, you know, drawn a blank, which is terrible, terrible podcasting and radio. But there are. Why are we all not high on the Jets offense? Look,
Gase is terrible.
Well, okay, Gase, good example. I maintain, and Brian being in the mental health field, Gase hates superstars. That's what it comes down to. I mean, he treats them terribly, mm-hmm. gets rid of them. He drafts Gesicki and then buries the guy for, was it AJ Derby at the beginning of the year? I mean, it's nonsense. They pumps up the guy who tore his ACL in Philly last year, Ajayi, and then trades him away. Kenyon Drake looks like the next man up. But instead, he's playing Frank Gore. Not winning, by the way. I mean, it wasn't exactly like the guy was winning doing this. So there's some strange behavior there. But there are reasons to like Le'Veon Bell this year. They do throw the football to the running back a good amount. They're going to there's going to be a slot receiver. But you have to identify who is it going to be. There's going to be a Kenny Stills in this offense, likely Robbie Anderson, who I wouldn't draft in a redraft league or dynasty, frankly. But I know everybody loves Chris Herndon. I'll give you a wrap on this one. And I'll let you guys take it over, of course. But Chris Herndon, everybody loves the guy. Now, talent-wise, he could be a talented player. He looked like he is. He is suspended the first couple of games, if I remember correctly. But the three offensive minds in New York, Gase, Jim Bob Cooter, and Dowell Loggins. Check out their history with the tight end. It seems as though it's a position they treat as if they're arena football league coaches. They don't even want it on the field. The Dolphins and the Lions last year, if I remember right, were 28th and 31st or 32nd in tight end scoring. So
sounds right. If it isn't, I mean,
oh, no, it's right. Don't worry. That's
wow.
That's what I'm after. Is what do these guys do? They've gotten these jobs. They're coaches for a reason. Now, in the case of Gase, your guess is as good as mine. But the
Jets gonna Jets.
It's really they can't get out of their own way. Somebody's got to be the new Browns. That's all. There's just somebody's got to be the new Browns.
And the two New York teams are fighting over it.
They are. It is a race to the bottom. Yes.
All right. Let's not cry about New York. In the chat, with Wes Welker as the wide receiver coach in San Francisco, should I keep my Trent Taylor shares?
No, don't they?
I mean, little tongue in cheek, but what is your, you were talking good about Dante Pettis. I don't remember if we were recording at that point or not. But what is your thoughts on the San Francisco pass catchers?
Multiple players. We talked a little bit about that earlier, but the, I think Pettis is a really good wide receiver that is a really good fit again with what Wes Welker was and would logically coach, you know, he's a Red Raider into the NFL, basically played the same position in Miami and then New England so successfully. He was in, if I recall correctly, he was in Houston last year coaching Kiki Kuti, who everybody loves. And I tried to avoid mentioning his name on the podcast because every podcast I hear he's on. But anyway, so I really like Pettis. Debo Samuel, I mean, I like what I see of the guy. I don't know that he was as productive in college. And again, I'm not a college guy as maybe you'd like, and injuries. So anyway, I'm a Pettis guy there.
Nice. Brian, any strong feelings on San Francisco, or are we moving on?
Nah, we can move along.
Cool. All right. You said you were in a draft, a rookie draft. one QB, and you were on the clock at 109. So before we get to what you did with that pick, let's walk us through the first eight picks first, because there was one or two in there worth talking about.
Yep, sure. I'll do it. So Jacobs, one. N'Keal Harry, two. Montgomery is three. Darrell Henderson at four. Miles Sanders at five. So probably loving that right now. Noah Fant went at six. I'll give you a quick breakdown of the league. It's pretty cool. Noah Fant at six. Kyler Murray, this is a one quarterback league, at seven. And DK Metcalf at eight. And I am on the clock. This is my one league with a co-manager, so I can't make the pick yet. We'll work through that. So that's where we're at.
So Darrell Henderson before Miles Sanders. Is anyone behind that? Like Brian, shaking your head no. Lou, yeah, no. Like,
well, Brian, I'm going to defer to Brian. You said his name first.
Yeah, he was shaking his head no. I figured that was pretty.
no, again, you
podcast.
Yeah, again, we've talked about it for several weeks in a row here with Henderson. I'm not drafting the backup running back to Todd Gurley especially before Miles freaking Sanders. I mean, I did finally draft him in a league at the end of the first round. Now, I own Todd Gurley in that league.
That's good.
Guy own him? Sorry,
no.
You keep talking.
No. Yeah, you know what? Let me, I will confirm that, but I don't believe I took a quick look earlier. And
right, sorry, Brian, my bad. You drafted him at the end of the first.
No, here's the deal. Somebody said he was Alvin Kamara, and now that's what people think he is. And I don't think he's Alvin Kamara at all. I mean, is he in a good offense? Yes. Is he a good runner? Yes. He's a good runner. He also plays behind one of the best runners in the National Football League, who's 24 freaking years old. I could be dead wrong here. This may be my make amends for the whole off season this year, if it doesn't work out here. But I just don't see it. Todd Gurley is a stud.
I think he's done.
Move on. You can move on. Yeah, that. Okay. Brian.
All right, cool. So Kyler Murray at the 107. This hurts my brain in a 1QB league. In my home league draft that's going on right now, I was hoping to trade up in like the 206, 207 range for him. He ended up going at 204, which is a little crazy for me. Even still, but 107? Are we... No, there's no justification for that. I think that's wrong. So we're just going to move on from that because that's crazy. So you're at the 109. What are your thoughts with the 109?
So I'll give you the quick rundown of this league. It is actually kind of cool. It's a tycoon league, they call it, meaning if you win the league back-to-back, the league ends. So every year you pay your entry fee. A portion of the pot goes into, they call it a tycoon holding. Mm-hmm. So after X number of years, which now this league is around 5 years, it's going to be a healthy number. And I don't know if the IRS listens to this or not, so I'm not going to bring it up. So anyway, it gets to be a healthy number. So somebody wins the league 2 years in a row, the league is over, and they collect that pot kind of thing. You go back to back. So anyway, I'm thinking Damian Harris and completely against most Dynasty League thoughts. It's a need pick. Just don't need Deebo Samuel, AJ Brown, pick a wide receiver. I mean, I like Andy Isabella, like we talked about before, but the opportunity of a Damian Harris makes a lot of sense to me, because I would also, with the, you know, if he gets there, when we get to the 209, look at like, you know, Justice Hill or some other running back that is a stub toe away from being very valuable.
Yeah, like now it's funny. We had all of our rookie drafts like the week of the draft. And then I had a few stragglers the past few weeks, and I sort of almost like lost a little interest in them. And now I'm like dying for them. Like the only one I have going on is like a home league, which is just boring as hell. Like we've had three timeouts already because people just forget it's happening.
Why the hell do we do that? Draft it right at, we're not the NFL.
We're just excited. That's really, I mean, that's what it comes down to. I think we're just,
you know, there's other stuff to do. You can watch.
Is there?
Watch the Premier League or something. So.
I don't even know what that is. What is that?
Wow. Thanks, Brian. Thank you for that.
Did you at least watch the women's team today or catch up on the highlights?
I look, do you even know what I'm talking about? With everyone's excitement on Twitter.
Okay, thank you.
I saw Eric Morgan sipping tea.
Yes.
Who won, by the way? I didn't.
Did America won. America.
America. Good. Rock and roll.
Rock and roll. Hey, Britain's got rock and roll wrapped up, gentlemen. I'm, you know, God bless America, but
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
England, yeah, I know.
Absurd number of British bands that have come over here and absolutely killed it. So, anyway, sorry, diversion.
So, are we allowed to talk about trades during this show? Like trades that we're thinking about or trades that were.
Depends. Is it the trade that you.
No.
So, Brian, what would you like to talk about?
So what do you guys think about this one? This is just a spitballer. And I need to, I'm hoping that peeps aren't listening. Well, I mean, I hope they eventually listen, just not currently. What do you guys think about Kenny Golladay for David Montgomery and Daniel Jones in a super flex?
I'd want Golladay, I think. Yes, I would. I still think Golladay's worth more than that.
Analyzer actually has it 363-360. So it's almost right on.
I think the issue with that is valuing Daniel Jones where he should be as opposed to where he is. If you have a smart person you're dealing with who, you know, realizes that starting quarterbacks are ridiculously valuable and it won't be a very long time until or before Daniel Jones starts. So if that meshes with their team and they understand that value, yeah, it's close. If they're not the biggest Golladay believers, that makes it even closer. I think if I'm staring at that, yeah, I still think it's weird because you're having a rookie running back who's going to produce now and a quarterback that's not going to produce for like 2 years or like a year. I don't think Daniel Jones is playing this year. That's just me. Mm-hmm. So value-wise, I get it. I still lean Golladay. It's not a scoffable offer or anything.
Yeah, I think the sweetener in the deal is Miles Sanders, right? That's who, right? It was Sanders and it's
Montgomery. Yeah, David Montgomery and Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I'm a Golladay guy. Like I said, the Daryl Bevel thing and everything. But I'm taking that running back, and I mean a rookie running back, a rookie quarterback. But Golladay is a third or fourth year wide receiver here. I'm taking that running back, quarterback combination.
Russ, would a 2020 second sway you the other way?
Mm-hmm. Probably. I mean, if Golladay wasn't like a cornerstone of my team, that would definitely be enough, I think.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Well, let's talk about this here since we're talking about trades that aren't necessarily Trade Addicts trades. Well, this one is sort of. We just filled up our third Trade Addicts Fantasy Cares Eliminator, by the way, Brian. I don't know if you knew that. but in the first one, we got offered I want to list the scoring for all the people listening, but it's so complicated. Man, almost dropped it. But it's best ball redraft. That's, I guess, and every week the lowest scoring team is eliminated until only one team stands. We got offered Zeke Elliott and Austin Hooper for Juju Smith-Schuster and Anthony Miller. He said he wanted Juju. I said he better come strong because, you know, Brian's not going to give up Juju for nothing.
Wait, read that again. Is this out there on the table right now?
Yeah, it's on the site.
Okay.
It is Zeke Elliott and Austin Hooper, and there's a decent tight end premium for Anthony Miller and Juju Smith-Schuster. again, redraft.
This is in our eliminator.
The first one. Yeah.
Oh man.
And he's listening right now, so this is our boy Dufresnes.
Oh, so I should answer is really. Keep you guys up.
This is tearing up my heart.
I know.
You're gonna say Zeke. You know it. That's why it's tearing at you. It's the Cowboy for a Steeler fan. Ouch.
God, that is so
And then he was
close.
Talking about how Anthony Miller is the perfect fit for this Bears offense.
Ooh, yeah.
This one's on you, buddy. You make the call. I'll hit the button.
All right, hang on. I need to see it.
Man,
if
this soundboard worked, I'd be hitting you with Jeopardy right now. But my soundboard isn't working.
You don't need a soundboard.
No.
You've got
Yeah, but you need to think. You don't need to sing.
IPA drinking soundboard.
You've got me, the Iceman. I don't know why I just called myself.
Can I be
Ice
Goose?
Man.
Can I?
I was about to say, Brian, I think you're more of a Goose than an Iceman.
I am. Okay, call me Goose. I don't care. Goose is also an IPA. Goose Island IPA.
Well, you are now being called Goose. Change your Twitter handle. It's done.
I'll take it. I will take it. I'm going to make dog tags tomorrow. It's going to be fantastic. Anyways, FCE Eliminator.
Zeke Elliott. Austin Hooper for Anthony Miller and Juju Smith-Schuster.
Shoot, I went to the wrong site. I didn't go to the draft.
You're the worst at this.
All
right, we'll come back to it because you're taking way too long.
That's good.
This is a podcast.
Yes.
Well, first of all, before we head into Trade Addicts trades again, even though we're talking about other trades, there's Lou put on the show sheet recent trade in FFPC format that went down. You said you were an Andy Isabella guy. And this trade is a first round 2020 pick for Andy Isabella. Did you pay it or did you get it?
This was not one of my trades, but I would tell you the person that gave the first has a very good team. So they've been up, you know, it'll be a low first round pick if that means anything in 2020, because apparently there are 400 or 500 great football players coming out in the 2020 draft. So
Saquon Barkley, 0.1, 0.2, 0.3, 0.4. Yeah, everybody's just going to be the best. Out of curiosity, where did Isabella get drafted in that league?
Now I can tell you right now, I brought it up 203.
It's ballsy throwing a first round pick for the 203.
Well, if the owner that acquired him has the good team, if he's, you know, assuming he's drafted in the back half of the first round next year, would he maybe give up 5 spots?
Yeah. I mean, I still want that pick. I think you can do better. That's really what it comes down to.
Even when Larry Fitzgerald hits the rocking chair next year and you've got Andy Isabella.
I'm more of a Christian Kirk guy.
I agree.
But again, that's the bad part about talking so much before we start recording. I can't remember what we talked about when. That ball is going to get thrown everywhere so much in Arizona that volume alone will make these guys good, at least. So if Isabella ends up being a thing, no less over Christian Kirk, then yeah, Isabella is going to be well worth the 2021st. I mean, but
he's not going over Christian. He's not going over Christian Kirk.
Yeah, it would have to be something weird to happen. But we had this talk a few weeks ago, I can't remember, about the value of pretty much, with Zingoni, like the value of a first round pick, especially trading it for production, like one for one. To me, like it's hard for me to do the one for one trade. And I know Brian was the one that brought it up during the show, and I was like, yes, exactly. Like, I use picks to upgrade. I don't use picks to it's my turn to draft in my best ball draft. The one-to-one thing just it scares me too much. I wouldn't think I would do it. I think I would rather have the pick. What about you, Brian?
Yeah, I think I'm probably with you.
Do you have okay? Thanks for that wonderful analysis. Lou,
your insight.
You're an Isabella guy. What do you think about giving up a, we'll, I hate playing the game, but we'll say a late 2020 first for Andy Isabella right now.
Right. If you're competing. It'll all go to hell in a handbasket. And you know, it's the number one pick. So, you know, Andy Isabella has not produced yet. So to your point of giving up a one for production, you're giving up a one for assumed production.
Yep.
And that is the kind of assumption that can get you killed in this hobby very quickly. You know, potential, we all wait on potential and that gets us killed kind of thing. I do, however, agree that the offense appears as though it is going to support multiple receivers that will catch a lot of footballs. And Isabella was their pick. Now, I'm a Christian Kirk guy. I think he's going to be excellent in this offense for a lot of years to come. This offense or any offense that they bring in. So if, you know, Kingsbury face plants and he's out of there in a year as well, whatever. I think they're going to succeed with Kirk. But I think I would say that the reason for the long-winded answer is that it's close, in my opinion. A very good team trading a first-round pick. It's close. So you want an answer? I'm taking the player.
Man, yeah. Super tour. Okay, yeah, we need to move on because I'm not going to be able to speak when we're talking about this. It's really good. I like it. I just personally don't think I could do it just because of what I think I could do. I think I could do better with that pick, not necessarily one for one, but I think I can better my team in a better way. That was very poorly worded. But we have some Trade Addicts trades to talk about, so that's what we're going to do.
Trade Addicts trades.
Trade Addicts leagues, 12 teams, super flex, PPR, tight end premium, 1.75 points, and 0.05 points for return yardage. We have two Trade Addicts 5 trades. First, Jace Sternberger, newly drafted tight end for the Green Bay Packers, for a 2022nd and 2023rd. Let me really quick, to find out when he was drafted doesn't necessarily mean anything anymore because value changes over time. And let's see, this was almost 2 months ago, but he was drafted at the 302 and we have tight end premium, which is a little more than most. You paying a 2022nd and 2023rd for Jace Sternberger, Brian?
No.
No, even though he won you that mock draft we did?
I know, he did win me the mock draft.
I forgot about that till it came out of my mouth. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I'm not paying a 2022nd. At this point, we don't know where that's going to land. And if it lands top half of the round, I mean, you're looking at first round talent, assuming the people that are supposed to come out next year. So, no, I'm not. I mean, I'd probably do a third, but I understand
what happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about you, Lou? What's your feeling? Green Bay tight ends in the first place, Jace Sternberger in the second place, and this trade in the third place. Three-part question.
Well, that's back to the coaching tree. Looking at last year and before, Delanie Walker was hurt in week one, if I remember correctly.
Very early, if not week one, yeah.
His ankle ended up in a different zip code from the rest of them. So I'm just looking at the numbers, the target numbers for the Titan tight ends last year. There is one game where a tight end, a single tight end, had over five targets. In week 11, Jonnu Smith had eight targets against the Colts. Other than that, it was a split job. So he's got a 250-year-old Jimmy Graham in front of him still. I don't know why you do it. If you're trading these two picks for production, you're probably not getting it based on LaFleur's numbers last year in targeting the tight end. Went back. Aaron Rodgers in charge of the ball. Well, he hasn't been exactly targeting the tight end a lot himself. So I don't see why you do it. It doesn't seem like a payoff to it. You're waiting on Sternberger a couple of years, and now you're waiting a year or two for those picks to hit.
Yeah, we need to trace to talk about, so I put it on there. But you know, that is what that is.
Good one.
This one's a little bit more interesting, especially because we talked about, well, maybe not this guy specifically, but the situation, his team. DJ Moore for AJ Brown and a 2021st. DJ Moore love is for real these days, and I am all there for it. Brian, DJ Moore or AJ Brown in the 2021st?
I'm taking Brown in the first here, and I love DJ Moore, but you're talking about two firsts in value back, and again, I mean everybody knows where I stand on the 2020 class, so yeah, I'm taking Brown in the pick.
Lou?
Oh yeah, Brown in the pick. I think Brown is the same player as DJ Moore. Now he's behind him a couple of years, of course. I don't think it'll take long to catch up. I think AJ Brown's a good looking rookie, and that is not sweetener. That is a sugar field, that 2021st on top of that. So I would be down with that. I'd smash the accept button. That's the term you young folks say these days as it applies to fantasy.
We'll have to ask the kids.
You like my work that in there, you young guys? Right, smash the button. That's,
I don't know. It's something's lit or something. I don't know. They use words. I don't know.
Lit. Yeah, lit.
See, here's my thing. Like, if I see, it's tough because, you know, TA5, we just did the startup this year. So it's not like we have history of who's competing or not. But if I think I'm winning this year, I think I would give up AJ Brown, assuming it's mine, 2021st. I think I would do it. I loved AJ Brown coming in. He's in a rough situation right now that will take time for him to get on top of. Either he's going to have to beat out Corey Davis. I almost said Chris Davis, but that is absolutely the wrong person. And he still has to, like, what's that quarterback situation? I love Mariota, but, you know, is he going to be able to feel his arm? Is he going to stay healthy? Are they going to not sign him? Or, you know, because chances are they're not going to know what to do. So they're going to franchise tag him. So they're going to be in quarterback limbo for a little bit. Unless what I hope happens is, and Mariota just lights the world on fire and, you know, they extend him halfway through the season. Mariota, baby. I mean, DJ Moore, the world is ready for DJ Moore. And
more DJ Moore.
There you go, baby. I get that the value is on AJ Brown and the pick. I mean, I don't think you're getting DJ Moore for all that much less. Like, would you trade DJ Moore for AJ Brown in a second? I mean, I don't think anybody would. So, I mean, yeah, I think I side with DJ Moore, unless even if my team is bad, you build around someone like DJ Moore, except you want more pieces. Okay, yeah. If my team is good, I want DJ Moore. If my team is bad, I want AJ Brown. But if we're talking pure value, the picks, yes. But me as a human being, which I like to think I am, I take DJ Moore.
See, I think the thing here is I look at this as I think AJ Brown could be 65-70% of what DJ Moore is. And a 2021st in a strong class more than makes up the difference. I mean, by a lot, too, in my opinion. I mean, I like DJ Moore, and I think he's going to be a good receiver in this league for a long time. But I don't think this is the year that he takes a jump from, you know, to, you know, Juju level or in his, you know, second year or whatever. I mean, I don't think it's going to be that type of jump. Can he jump to 83 catches and 1,000 yards with 7 touchdowns? Yeah, I think he can do that. But then I think AJ Brown can have 800 yards and 6 touchdowns too. So, to me, I mean, you're talking a point a game, a difference, maybe. Well, maybe more than that. I'm not a math person, so it's probably not good to listen to me on math stuff
for a while.
But
so.
But yeah, but like I just think, you know, that I mean, here's the thing too. He better put you over the top. I mean, you better be top three in the league. Because if you're getting a top 10 rookie pick in next year's class back, I mean, that player
this year, top 10 next year.
That player next year that you're gonna get in the top 10 of that rookie draft has absolutely a very legitimate chance, in my opinion, of outproducing either of those receivers. So that, you know, you better be damn sure that DJ Moore's the man and is going to take the jump that you think he is to put you over the top in order to lose that type of value in the deal. I understand what you're saying, Russ, and I think, I mean, if you have a really, really good team and Moore is going to provide depth that you need to, you know, to sustain an injury on your team and push through that, I get it. And I could see potentially making that deal in that case. But other than that, I think the value is so significantly different on the two sides that I would go with the Brown in first.
Right now, DJ Moore is 36 in ADP, in June ADP. Mm-hmm. My question is, like, how bad or good do you think that has to do to change? Like, I don't, like you said, what was the numbers you said? Like 807, 80, 807? I said,
for DJ Moore?
Yeah.
I said like a thousand, I said eight, like 83 catches, 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns.
Like that's like wide receiver 2 numbers?
Yeah.
And like, that will keep him, if anything, doing well will probably raise his ADP because it's still just, he's still new. Like, I think his value is so insulated unless he tanks, which there's no reason to believe that will happen. So while I get, it seems like the value is so off. All right, I was really just stalling because I was typing into the DLF Trade Analyzer. Super even. DJ Moore, 367.2, and the AJ Brown side, 378.7.
Wow.
So 11.5 difference. I'm really good that I got that up there because I was really running out of things to say. So does hearing that change your mind about anything? No? Just figure I'd give it a try.
I really see. I think the other thing here for me, like, people are looking at AJ Brown coming into Tennessee, like, oh, well, now, I mean, Corey Davis is there. And I think this helps both of them. I think it's actually a pretty good spot for them because they're different receivers. I mean, well, yeah, Davis is an outside guy.
Will always be the issue to make them fantasy relevant.
Yeah. And that's a fair.
Will they be good in football? Yep. Probably.
Yeah,
like I have a wonderful rant I'm going to get into one day about the Tennessee offense, but today's not that day.
Well, yeah, and we've talked about Derrick Henry and what kind of workhorse he's probably going to be. So, you know, that's a great point. I mean, I think in looking at it that way, you're probably right. I mean, I think DJ Moore has a chance to get a lot more volume, obviously, than Brown.
I mean, he has a chance to go up from an ADP of 36.
Yeah. No, you're right. He does.
I mean, I don't know if you magically changed your mind, but I feel like I at least did a good enough job arguing my point that you at least see my point very much closer than you did before. So I'm going to claim a victory on this one, and we're going to move on unless you have anything to add, Lou.
No. I'm just looking at numbers, and that would put AJ Brown around those numbers would put him in the 24 to 30 range. And yeah, I think it's closer. Move on.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. All right. So we had an awesome question that we didn't end up getting to last week from @iChrisLawson. And it's a little bit of a story in this one. You wake up hungover on a Saturday morning and you find an absurdly lowball offer for one of your studs via email. You go to decline the offer and you don't realize that you fat finger accidentally clicked accept. You wake up an hour later and realize it. What actions do you take? First, just don't throw your phone. It is very expensive. The Dynasty Trades HQ Listener League. The amount of trades that had to be undone because Shane Manila clicks the wrong freaking button through emails is ridiculous. Never, ever, ever accept or decline through emails. When you go to the site and you want to accept something, you get a pop-up. Are you sure you're about to accept this? Is this really what you want to do? That doesn't happen in the email. You hit that button, it goes through. First of all, no commenting if you're going to reject it. So go to the site so you can comment if you're going to reject it. But even if you're going to accept it, you be safe. You go to that site. You click the accept. You click that pop-up because that gives you that extra, like, okay, I hit that accept button. How do I feel about the fact that I just hit accept? And then you'll see what you do. But again, you're hungover. What the hell do you know? You're just sort of stumbling around. So what actions do you take? Go right into that group chat right away. No, that's a lie. DM the guy first. DM the commissioner saying, yo, too many beers, made a mistake, and hopefully they're nice enough to reverse it. If not, you learned your lesson. Now, Lou, some of these leagues you play in.
There'd be whatever an internet fight looks like, that's what it would be. I'm reading this with such curiosity and wondering what Chris Lawson does. If you'd ask the question, it's such an awesome question. I think you would take the finger you would normally use to hit accept, and since you're hungover, stick it down your throat and move on, man. You screwed the pooch, as the saying goes. You could throw yourself at the mercy of the league, or you could just buck up and say, who wants to trade me for all these awesome players I just picked up in this really smart trade I just pulled down? I don't have much sympathy for this. Sorry.
Well, yeah. Well, see, here's the thing. It's funny. Like, we always, our motto, don't be a dick. The thing is, like, if you're a good dude in this league, there's a good chance people will be like, all right, no, yeah, clearly you messed up. Wow, I said it. You messed up, and I like you. We'll reverse it. Just don't do it again. But if you're a jerk, you're screwed. So, I mean, even if you like being a jerk, not being a jerk can work in your favor.
You bet. You get better pie with sugar than you do with vinegar, right?
That's right. Yeah, I'm with you guys on this one. I mean, I think we all make mistakes, so you can ask, but at the end of the day, you have to leave it up to your league mates, and if they decide that it's, you know, cut and dry, and then it's, you know, you're going to have to live with it. I'm with you, Russ. I don't ever, you know, and this goes back for me to, you know, one of the things that bothers me is when I don't get any type of feedback from trade declines or whatever, or trade offers. And people say all the time, well, you know, there's no place to write anything in the email. Well, I mean, it literally takes 5 seconds to log on to the league. Like, just, you don't have to answer it straight from the email. I mean, I understand you're busy. Like, we're all busy, right? But
I got nothing going on. You know,
take a few seconds and go to the league site. You know what? Even if you're on your mobile device, go to the league site on your mobile device and you know, accept or decline these deals, and then you won't have to worry about fat fingering it.
And also, sorry, go ahead, man.
I said, don't get wasted. That'd be another option.
I mean,
I won't advocate that, but
that's a different podcast.
Different topic.
Okay. That's the only question I remember reading. Mike Alex at FF Einstein's. It's Einstein SZ. So Einstein's. I killed that one. Have you ever built a really strong roster and just sat on it for the rest of the summer and let trades come to you? No. I mean, that's the short answer of that. You're never the strongest you can be, pretty much. You could always do something to better your roster, I think. Is it nice when trades come to you? Yes. Will they? Probably not. So, are there teams I think I don't know what to do with? Like, I sit and stare at Trade Addicts 3 a lot because I want to make a trade in that league because I like trading.
Because .. have to think about it.
Why are you?
I don't want to say anything.
You're the worst. You are absolutely the worst.
No. Shane is the worst.
Shane's not the worst. I love Shane. You're the worst.
I love Shane too.
And it's just, I love that team. I love what I've built out of it. And especially after getting friggin' Deshaun Watson out of nowhere, which just makes me happy because I love Deshaun Watson. Thank you for that, by the way, for not trading for him.
You're welcome.
It's not that I'm satisfied with that team. It's just I don't necessarily know what to do with it right now. And am I sitting and waiting for trades to come to me? Not really sitting and waiting. If they come to me, I will obviously, you know, wow. Words are failing, so it means I'm on the downturn, guys. You know, I'll weigh it to see if it's worth it or not. But no, to answer the question again that I've said no 16 times, like I never just sit on my laurels thinking, oh, no, this is the best because things are going to change. You know, absolutely nothing football-wise has happened in the past 2 to 3 weeks. And values have changed drastically in the past 2 to 3 weeks. So, yeah, no, I never just purposely sit on a team. How do you guys feel about this one?
I'm sitting on a team right now. Somebody would have to blow me away. I'll give you a quick on this. This is FFPC, which, you know, hopefully you guys don't mind me bringing that up. Okay. So, you know, there are two flex, two running backs, two wide receivers, tight end kind of deal. So running backs are Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, Kerryon Johnson. This is a dynasty league. Royce Freeman is sitting on my bench right now. Receivers are Keenan Allen, Edelman, and I have whomever it is that wins the Green Bay Packers second wide receiver job. So I've got them all because I went through the draft, had a bunch of extra picks, other than having Davante Adams. And I've also, on the bench, I've got Pettis and tight ends, Hunter Henry, Evan Engram, and Austin Hooper.
Wow.
So what am I doing? You know, somebody would have to, you know, I think.
And well, FFPC or short bench, right?
It's 20 player roster. Yes. So, and I've got on this team, I have 23. So I will cut 3 players before the start of the season. But you know, I've got some fat to trim over there.
I would pair one of those tight ends up with a wide receiver to upgrade my wide receiver too, pretty quickly.
But
that would probably be my goal.
Wouldn't that be winning the off-season pretty roster battle?
That's what I do.
right. You paint.
Well, I mean, because that's really, I mean, jokingly yes, and jokingly and not jokingly yes. Amassing value will help you deal later if something were to happen.
Sure.
Like you don't want to condense to the point where one injury throws you off, but you seem to also still have good enough depth where you can lose one wide receiver and one tight end to put it into one player.
Here's why. Because this team had Alvin Kamara on it. So I was the guy not sitting on it. I traded Kamara for Cook. I don't know, like a couple of guys on here. I think it was Engram, first round pick. I'm not scared to trade the stud kind of thing. So I ended up with what I think is a deeper, better dynasty roster instead of having Alvin Kamara. So I didn't necessarily sit on it, but I'm sitting on it now. You'd have to blow me away to make a move over here. I'd love to read what they're saying in the chat right now, whether they think I'm a lunatic or not.
The last thing that was said in the chat was getting wasted is how I trade. So they're a little behind, I guess.
All right. So they did not agree with what I had to say on that one for sure. That's it.
What about you, Brian? You sitting on any rosters?
I have one, but I'm not. I'm actually currently looking at it, seeing how I can make a move. No, I don't sit. I mean, I'm okay. I'm okay not constantly. Like, I don't necessarily trade just to trade, but I also, I'm always looking at ways to improve my roster. And if something comes along, or, you know, so one of the other things that I was going to talk about tonight, and I know we're not going to have time, so we'll save it, but we need to talk about how many leagues people get into. Because for me, this is becoming a thing where I definitely focus on certain leagues. And I think it's probably common for other guys too. But, you know, there are leagues where I will look at least a couple times a week. And even if I make a couple moves that make my team, you know, to make me feel really good about my team's chances, I'm looking at them, you know, a couple times a week thinking, okay, let me look at my roster. Okay, where am I weak? All right. Well, what roster in the league do I line up with to make a deal that would help myself and potentially help them in a weak area where I may be a little bit stronger? So, I mean, that goes back to Lou's principle there is, you know, looking for fair deals that work for both teams. And that's how I operate too. So, you know, I'm always looking to improve my rosters. And if there's something that comes along that helps me, that makes sense, and that helps me either this year if I'm going to compete, or that helps me attain assets for next off season or next year, because I know I'm probably not going to compete this year, then yeah, I'm always looking to do those things. So no, there's never a time where I really sit back and purposefully be still.
Yes. Okay. Well, before I say what everyone expects I'm going to say right now, we are going to do a floater sinker pinch.
Floater sinker pinch.
And it's going to be
never not funny. I just want to put it's never not funny when you do it.
All right. So for I think I just thought in my head, like, when am I going to stop explaining what all these are? But probably never. So floaters, you're going to float those trades out there. Sinkers, they drop. Pinchers, hold on nice and tight. The guys we've talked about so far today, Curtis Samuel, Anthony Miller, and Golden Tate. Brian, floater, sinker, pinch.
I'm floating Samuel. I am dropping Tate. And I am pinching Miller.
It's so tough. Like, I want to pinch Curtis Samuel so bad. But I think what you said is, like, process of elimination, what value-wise it has to be. I think out of the three of these, you get the most for Curtis Samuel. If we're talking dynasty, you're going to have to Anthony Miller over Golden Tate, even though this year there is a distinct possibility Golden Tate can score more points. But I still think you got to think long run, and yeah, you're pinching Anthony Miller, sinking Golden Tate. All right, that didn't work out as well. Lou, do you have a different answer?
Hopefully. No, Tate has got to be the sinker in this awesome scenario. So just because he's the older guy. Now, I don't think he's near done, by the way. Again, a couple of years, if you didn't pay much for him, tough to let go and sink that one. But Miller, to me, I still think has the most value. Pretty good hype coming in last year. I'd say it's closer with Samuel than you might think. Curtis Samuel has a little bit of the Tyler Boyd value in him right now. Had a couple of good games. People got excited, maybe pumping up the value a little more than they should at this point. I still think long term, if we're talking dynasty trades here, I still think Miller is the guy that a lot of people are, to borrow a word, truthers on, and will go out and pay for once they see him healthy in the preseason.
So you are floating Miller, and pinching Curtis
Samuel, right? So.
All right, I want to change my answer because whether it's true or not, I want to pinch Curtis Samuel. So I'm going to agree with Lou. I'm changing my answer. And one more, because this hasn't been a tight end show in a while, and we've done this one before, but we're going to do it again. Floater, sinker, pinch. OJ Howard, David Njoku, Evan Engram. Lou, you go first.
All right. So, I'm still waiting for Njoku to show up on the stat sheet at some point. So I don't get it. I mean, could have all the talent in the world. No evidence. Right now, he fits the looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane, deal. So I'm sinking Njoku. I am floating Howard because he is the guy that a lot of people are in love with. Even though, of course, I traded Engram, I'm going to pinch Engram because I think there's a decent chance Engram is actually the wide receiver one in New York, and he's even the downfield threat in New York when you compare him to Sterling Shepard, Golden Tate. One of the rookies, I know they love the kid that came out of Monmouth University in New Jersey. So anyway, I think he's the guy that you're keeping out of the three.
Yeah, and Njoku was probably a bad third one because this really does come down to the talent versus situation of OJ Howard and the value versus what you think that Giants offense is going to be in Evan Engram.
Right.
Oh, sorry, you jumped in.
No, so make it more interesting and put Hunter Henry in there.
Love it. Good one.
I Hunter Henry to me is tight end 4 if he's not tight end 3.
Wait, okay, which is the 3 you're getting rid of?
That's the interesting thing. I'm not getting Ertz out of there. I know everybody. I've watched it go on. Ertz keeps dropping out again. Dynasty, different discussion, of course. Kittle belongs up there. Offense, quarterback, whole thing.
At 2 over Ertz is what you're saying?
I'm saying Kittle is 2 in Dynasty with Hunter Henry as 3. I'm sorry, Ertz. Ertz is no. Hold on. Let me just make sure I get this right. Okay. I'm sticking with Kelsey at 1. I'm keeping Ertz in the top 3, and I'll put Hunter Henry 3rd over Kittle.
Kelsey, Ertz, Hunter Henry, Kittle.
Kittle. Yeah. Yeah. I think Kittle was partially a product of the fact that there wasn't a damn thing to throw the ball to in San Francisco.
That's very true. There really was nobody. Oh, man. Brian, you go because now I have to sit and stare at this for a second.
Oh, all right. So I would. Henry makes it a lot tougher.
Right? It made one thing easier for me. I think without a doubt, I pinch Engram in this one now.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think pinch Engram. I think. Oh my God!
Sinking Howard. I think you can get more.
Are you sinking Howard because of Bruce Arians' history with tight ends?
I mean, me personally, no, but the perception of it, yes. Because I mean, right now we're deciding between floating or sinking, which means it doesn't matter what I think anymore. It's whether I think who I can get more for, and I think I can get more for Hunter Henry right now, for sure. So yeah, float Hunter Henry, sink OJ Howard, pinch Evan Engram. Final answer.
I will I will sneeze.
He will sneeze, bless you.
Okay, I know it's actual pain. That's
I will do, sorry about that. I will do I can't drop power. I can't do it.
Drop. Can you drop Hunter Henry?
No. I'm not dropping anyone.
I'm
squeezing so tight that two of them stay in there.
Gross. No, that is not healthy more than anything else. Come on, give us an answer.
All right, I will drop Hunter Henry on the basis.
Oh. Wait. You're gonna what?
Oh.
I'm going to pinch Hunter Henry on the basis that Mike Williams is going to be what Mike Williams was last year. I absolutely don't believe that though. So I this is awful. And I did it to myself.
You did. You changed this one up nicely, by the way.
Thank you. No, you have to pinch Engram. You have to. Right? No Odell Beckham, a rookie quarterback, or an Eli Manning. It's pretty much the same thing. Totally not the same thing, but you get what I'm saying.
Very loud.
I just can't drop him. He's really good, right?
I love how you made yourself this uncomfortable by adding Henry into it, by the way.
I did. It's awful. I'm going to do it, though, because I've seen O.J. Howard in the last two seasons do it. I haven't seen Hunter Henry do it in the last two seasons. So there. That's what's going to make the decision.
All right.
Because
so spell
Henry
it out
was
for
out
us.
All of last year. So Howard is my floater. Henry is my sinker. Engram is my pinch.
Do you feel good about it?
Not at all. I feel like I have diarrhea.
Gross. I mean, can I really say gross when the whole thing is based on poop anyway? I mean, that's not really fair of me.
Never not funny. That's right. Never not funny.
All right. Well, like I said, we're ending on that because I am tired and I want to go to bed. So before that does happen, Lou, remind everyone who you are, where they could find you, and all of that fun stuff.
Lou Tranquilli, and I am at 3INTBoy on Twitter. That's the fantasy football handle. I'll stick with that. I do have another life. That's the real one.
Yeah, so, well, we don't care about that one.
Yeah, that's right. So
just putting it out there, being honest.
That's why we're here. Be honest.
All right. Yeah. Brian, before you have something to pimp, please.
Well, I finally got around to updating my Superflex rankings over at DLF. It's been a while. I had been studying for a licensure examination, and it's been a while.
Hear your excuses, Brian.
It's not an excuse. It's legit. So, but it's been a while. But I updated them today. I do have a couple tweaks to make after I was done and wrote out on a piece of paper towel. No kidding, I'm holding it up right now. If the people
it's
are watching,
it's pretty awesome to
That's
see
how Google started. I just want to.
I did my positional rankings based on my overall rankings here, and I have a few tweaks to make in the next couple of days. But I did update my rankings, so. If you get a chance or you're interested in those, head over to dynastyleaguefootball.com under the rankings tab. And these are the Superflex rankings, and you'll see my stuff in there. So,
all right, now it's my turn to pimp.
Yeah.
Wristbands, people. Brian's holding them up. If you're, well, we'll get to Patreon in a second. $5.
See him.
I'll retweet the heck out of them like I normally do. You can get a wristband that is a Trade Addicts Pod. You get the hashtag Trade Addicts and at Trade Addicts Pod in the wonderful navy blue neon green color coding, color combination. I'm bad at words. $5 and $2 of every bracelet will go to Fantasy Cares. DM Brian at Brian Har FF to get that party going. But like I said before, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You could be looking at Brian's dainty wrist as he models the bracelets right now. But if you're not a Patreon, you can't see that.
Yeah.
Or on the show. Attractive. I guess Lou's watching it right now.
I'm pointing at it too. There you go. That's me pointing at it. Very attractive. And great job, by the way, if you don't mind me saying, guys, on supporting. You asked me about my fantasy football, base, but I've got to compliment you on that. Giving money to charity like that as part of what you're doing here. I'm fond of saying that if everybody who could help would help, there wouldn't be anyone that needed help. So,
amen. And especially because the amount of money we spend on a game about a game about a game.
That's right. That's
part of it should always go to people that can't waste the money on the stuff we do.
Couldn't agree.
Speaking of wasting money, tradeaddictspod.storeenvy.com. Go waste your money on some wonderful Trade Addicts shirts and coffee mugs they're awesome.
But I promise it will not be a waste.
Oh, no. Wait. I mean, yeah. They're awesome shirts. I mean, I love our logo. The shirts are comfy as HE double hockey sticks. So, yeah, rock on. Man, I'm struggling. Did I finish it, Brian? Did I miss anything? No.
I don't think so.
Night, Brian.
Night, Outhouse.
Night, Lou.
Night, Lou.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast. Please remember to follow our host at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Har FF. Follow the pod at Trade Addict Pod. Please review, subscribe, and rate the podcast. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.